conscious sections of the Palestinian people. This was not done by house-to-house fighting inside the citizen towns, but by the conquest and destruction of the rural areas surrounding most of the towns. This technique led to the collapse and surrender of Haifa, Jaffa, Tiberias, Saft, Acre, Beit Shan, Lydda, Ramleh, Majdal, and Beersheba. Deprived of transportation, food, and raw materials, the urban communities underwent a process of disintegration, chaos, and hunger which forced them to the Israeli claim that most Palestinians abandoned their homes and left voluntarily as Israeli propaganda. According to Flappin, indeed, from the point of view of military logistics, the contention that the Palestinian Arab leadership appealed to the Arab masses to leave their homes in order to open the way for the invading armies, after which they would return to share in the victory, makes no sense at all. The Arab armies, coming long distances and operating in or from the Arab areas of Palestine, needed the help of the local population for food, fuel, water, transport, manpower, and information. The recent publication of thousands of documents in the state and Zionist archives, as well as Ben-Gurion's war diaries, shows that there is no evidence to support Israeli claims. In fact, the declassified material contradicts the order theory, for among these new sources are documents testifying to the considerable efforts of the AHC, Arab Higher Committee, and the Arab states to constrain the flight. For its part, the Haganah avoided outright massacres like Yassin, but, through destruction of property, harassment, and rumor-mongering, was no less determined to evacuate the Arab population and prevent its return. Indeed, by the end of the 1947-48 war, IDF's burning, blowing up, and mining of the ruins accounted for the destruction of 350 Arab villages and townlets situated in areas assigned to the Jewish state or those conquered during the fighting. Thousands upon thousands of houses, workshops, storerooms, cattle pens, nurseries, and orchards were destroyed, while livestock was seized, and equipment looted or burned. The operation, executed with a strict efficiency, was inexplicable since most of these villages were not engaged in heavy fighting against the Jewish forces and most of the inhabitants had fled either in fear of a new Yassin, or in response to friendly advice from Jewish Nay. A more sophisticated form of pressure was achieved by legislation regarding property, particularly the Absentees Property Law of 1950. This law, first promulgated in December 1948, stated that any Arabs who left their places of residence between November 29, 1947, and September 1, 1948, either to go to areas outside Palestine, or to areas within Palestine, that were occupied by active Arab military forces, would be considered absentees and their property subject to appropriation by the custodian of enemy property, an office soon replaced by the custodian of absentees property. Even Arabs who had traveled to visit relatives or to escape areas of fighting a detailed account of exactly how abandoned Arab property assisted in the absorption of the new immigrants was prepared by Joseph Schechtman, an expert on population transfer who helped create the myth of voluntary exodus. The amount of this property, he wrote in 1952, is very 2,990,000 dunams, 739,750 acres, of formerly Arab-owned land, including olive and orange groves, vineyards, citrus orchards, and assorted tree gardens, became totally deserted as a result of the Arab mass flight. Of this Arab land, 2,070,270 dunams were of good quality, 136,530 of medium quality, and 751,730 dunams were of poor soil. In addition, 73,000 dwelling rooms and abandoned Arab houses, and 7,800 shops, workshops, and storerooms became ownerless in towns and bank accounts estimated to total 5 million Palestinian pounds, and left in Arab and non-Arab banks, were frozen by the Israeli government. All of this Arab absentee property, movable and immovable, was entrusted to, and it is difficult to overestimate the tremendous role this lot of abandoned Arab property has played in the settlement of hundreds of thousands of Jewish immigrants who have reached Israel since the proclamation of the state in May 1948. 47 new rural settlements established on the sites of abandoned Arab villages had, by October 1949, already absorbed 25,255 new immigrants. By the spring of 1950, over 1 million dunams, 250,000 acres, had been leased by the custodian to Jewish settlements and individual farmers for the raising of grain crops. Large tracts of land belonging to Arab absentees have also been leased to Jewish settlers, old and new, for the raising of vegetables. In the south alone, 15,000 dunams of vineyards and fruit trees have been leased to. This has saved the Jewish agency and the government millions of dollars. While the average cost of establishing an immigrant family in a new settlement was from $7,500 to $9,000, the cost of doing so in abandoned Arab villages did not exceed $1,500. The myth of voluntary exodus, to justify these actions, the myth was created and heavily propagandized that the Palestinians had left their homes voluntarily or were encouraged to do so by the Arab countries. Having thus abandoned their homes, farms, orchards to the Israelis, it was proper for the Israelis to confiscate and occupy them. This Flappin refutes in great detail. Palestinian sources offer further evidence that even earlier, in March and April, the Arab Higher Committee, broadcasting from Damascus, demanded that the population stay put and announced that Palestinians of military age must return from the Arab countries. All Arab officials in Palestine were also asked to remain at their posts. Why did such pleas have so little impact? They were outweighed by the cumulative effect of Zionist pressure tactics that ranged from economic and psychological warfare to the systematic ousting of the Arab population by the army and terrorism. Emphasis supplied the myth of voluntary Palestinian exodus in response to Arab orders from above has survived with an astounding perseverance. In retrospect, the myth can be seen as the inevitable result of the denial of the Palestinians' right to national independence and statehood, a principle that guided Zionist policies from the beginning. Political in origin, the myth became an important component in the prevailing self-image of the new state. First of all, it served to cover the traces of the unsavory methods employed by the authorities, from the confiscation of food, raw materials, medicaments, and land, to acts of terror and intimidation, the creation of panic, and finally, forcible expulsion, and thus, to exorcise the feelings of guilt in many sectors of society, especially the younger generation. Many of them bore the burden of the operations that caused the Arab flight. They personally implemented the instructions to destroy whole villages, forcing men, women, and children to leave their homes for some unknown destination beyond the borders. Many of them took part in operations where they rounded up all able-bodied men, and then crowded them into trucks for deportation. Their feelings of moral frustration and revulsion were not easily eradicated. The fact that the Israelis were responsible for the mass exodus of the Arab refugees is attested to by the IDF's own intelligence estimates. As of June 1, 1948, 370,000 Arabs had left the country, from both the Jewish parts and the Arab parts conquered by the Jews. Jewish attacks on Arab centers, particularly large villages, townlets, or cities, accounted for about 55% of those who left. Terrorist acts of the Igun and Lehi, 15%, whispering campaigns, psychological warfare, about 2%, evacuations ordered by the IDF, another 2%, and general fear about. It is clear from these statistics that 84% left in direct response to Israeli actions, while only 5% left on orders from Arab bands. The remaining 11% are not accounted for in this estimate, and may refer to those who left voluntarily. The total reflects only about 50% of the entire exodus, since a similar number were to leave the country within. Flappin concludes his discussion of Myth 3 with the following: was there any significant opposition to official policy? On many occasions, the forceful expulsion of the Palestinian population generated protests in liberal and progressive circles against the violation of elementary human rights. News of the expulsions, of brutal treatment, of looting, and of the terrible suffering of Arabs forced to leave their homes and properties were reported by witnesses, among them religious dignitaries, doctors and nurses, church school teachers, journalists, Quakers, members of the staff of UN mediator Count Bernadotte, and